Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Farm Credit Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Look at the cash grain market with Ben Pruess from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility, and discuss the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. Along the way, we'll take a quick look at the agricultural news. That with your director of agricultural programming here at the radio station, Dave Dickey. It all happens right here on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers for Friday as they settled up in Chicago from the CME Group, where December corn finished down 6¾ cents at $3.31½. The March at 3.44 and a quarter down 6½ cents, and the May at 3.53, 6¼ lower. July corn $3.60 down 6¼, December at 3.78½ down 5¾. November beans $9.57, a settlement price down 14½ cents. January at 9.65 and a quarter, 14¼ lower. The March at $9.72¾ down 14¼, and May at 9.79½ down 14¾. July soybeans 9.85½, 15 cents lower. Next year's November of the 2015 contract, $9.70½ down 14¾. Bean meal finished at $3.24.10 in the October. That's down $4.70, and bean oil at $32.46 finished 26 cents lower. Live cattle futures in the October at $155.62½, up 2½ cents. December at $158.70, 22½ cents lower. September feeder cattle at $230.60, up 70. October $228.72½, $1.02½ higher on the day for 100 pounds. And lean hogs finished the October contract as its lead option at $105.97½. They were up the $3 limit. December at $94.85 finished $1 and a nickel higher. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. That's willag.org, willag.org. There on our website, you'll find a way to sign up for our November Farm Assets Conference. We'll give you more details as we go through the day today. Just $25 the Monday before Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Crude oil finished the day in the October at $92.46, actually still trading 61 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.60 and 8 cents of a cent. That's 4 and 6 tenths of a cent higher. Ethanol futures at $1.63 and 7 cents, down 2½ cents. And the spread between the two is 97 cents wide now, 7 and a tenth of a cent wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.83 and 8 cents, down 7 and 2 tenths. And diesel fuel at $2.71 and a half, 3 tenths of a cent higher. Gold futures $1,215.50, down $10.40 in the U.S. dollar today at 84.73. That's up 0.41 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Friday afternoon. On our way to a high outside in the 70-degree mark, and we actually are at 77 degrees at this time. The forecast tells us that this evening we will see a low. Well, we don't actually have the forecast at the moment. We will get to a low in the forecast here in just a bit. So we're outside now at 77 degrees, and we're on our way supposedly to a high of 75, so we surpass that for the day. And then this evening, mostly clear skies and a low of 56. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers, some thunderstorms, those coming after 1, mostly sunny, and a high of 83. Tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, and a low of 62. Sunday, sunny skies and 75. Winds will turn to the northwest on Sunday. Sunday at 8 to 14 and gust all the way to 20 miles
Support
an hour.
Support for agricultural
and then on Sunday night, mostly clear and 51 degrees, sunny and a high of 71 on a Monday evening. Let's check now what's been happening in the marketplace with Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And well, let's start with the cattle on feed numbers as they came out in the 2 o'clock hour Central Time from Washington, D.C. in the United States Department of Agriculture. What did they show?
On feed, 99% September 1, placed 97. And the marketings at 90. The placements and marketings both were the lowest on record, Todd, but the placement estimate average by the trade was 95.5. And again, we placed 97%. So between the placements and the marketings numbers, I would suggest you got a pretty tough negative report out of today. So what we saw in gains and the testing of the major highs and the all-time highs in the feeders this week may be on the table. We're pulling the plug on that, so we'll see how the technicals treat us. But nothing that I could see initially to feed the bull at this stage.
So why was it that the trade was thinking that these numbers would be lower than they turned out? And granted, they remain at relatively low levels.
I think the placements number was a pretty easy answer to that, and that is the major hit to the corn market. You know, we're at about 305 based upon the Andersons website on today's close there in Champaign. And so the idea was is that you would see fewer and fewer placements as the prices dropped and that you'd see more holding back at this stage of the game. I think the marketing's number is probably the harder one to explain given that the summer beef demand was supposed to be so good.
Okay, so what does it mean going forward then, both for the cattle market and then for feed usage?
Yeah, I mean, feed usage, you still got a pretty decent situation because of the low prices and because of the feeding out that we've seen, and the poultry numbers are coming on finally. So I think that can be compensated in part for the cattle numbers. I think the biggest issue goes back to the seasonal supplies tend to build here in the hogs and cattle between mid-September and mid-November. So it's real important that we keep strong demand, and we did see that in the weekly export sales for beef and pork, but we got to keep the strong demand up because supplies do tend to build, especially if the PED virus doesn't rear its ugly head again.
Turn your attention to what's happening in the marketplace directly, cash grain market in particular, where harvest has begun and what kind of impact it is having.
Well, I think the clear answer is that the impact was negative from the opening up of the weather for bean harvest, and you could see that with cash prices for spot beans in Decatur next door to you down $1.25. Lafayette was down $1.75 today, and Cedar Rapids was down about $1.75 as well. And so that was the initial hit to the market, and I'm sure that did wear and put some negative pressure on the futures market, but it's kind of interesting. In the midst of the row crop harvest starting, the market that got hit the hardest was the wheat once again, and it was down over 5.5% on the week, tested, went below a 200-month moving average that it hasn't gone below since November of 2005, closed right on it. And so I think the second half of the week, yes, we had some harvest pressure, and that probably impacted the market in a minor role, I think, Todd, but the major role was the Federal Reserve meeting, the dollar shooting sharply higher, especially against the yen, and the wheat finding the biggest selling pressure of all the grains, even though, like I said, we're in row crop harvest at this point.
Well, you have long, and many are, of the opinion that wheat tends to lead this market one way or the other for commodities, corn, coarse grains in particular. This is not good news, I would think.
No, it's not. I mean, that's the whole thing. Rule number one this year has been don't buck the technicals because the funds are in control. Rule number two was wheat needs to make the major low first, and I chose to recommend going after paper positions in corn much more than beans, but much more cash advice in beans and much more paper positions in corn with the idea that the wheat would find support before this and by the time we got to the July harvest of the winter wheat. And if you don't get a low in July, I went back to 1990, if you don't get a low in July, then you're counting on August and September to put a low in because you've never had a low in October since 1990 in lead month wheat. And if you don't get something in September established, then you're going to have to wait till November and December, where the distribution increases quite a bit, that a low can come there. But and that would tend to make sense this year if we don't get a low in September, because we could continue to see the corn and the beans pressure the wheat, and we could see a situation where it's the election that really kind of turns maybe some of the focus away from investing in the equities as asset allocation and maybe coming back into the commodities. And so I'm still on that bend that even with the Federal Reserve giving a green light for a higher dollar and new record highs in the equities this week by not bringing in an interest rate hike sooner, even though the economy is coming on harder, I think, you know, you still have, I think, the macroeconomic fundamentals still on your side at one point in time.
So you have a mind that, and this is a pretty sharp break or a pretty decent break, technically it looks like, at least in the wheat, that this could be a low or the beginnings of a low, and we could make that in September and then make the bounce for wheat followed by corn, a month later or something?
Yeah, usually 20 to 30 days later. I'll play it the same way I have all year long, Todd. I think there are opportunities or areas where you can find a bottom. And it's really up to the funds and it's up to the technicals to answer that question. And so, yes, we are at one of those junctures here to find a bottom. Now, whether we do or not is another question. To give you an idea of the micro fundamentals at this stage of the game and when it comes to the corn and beans, is that Reuters just put out right before the close a story that we did see a bigger damage to the upper Midwest and the northern corn and bean belt from the freeze a week ago than initially thought, but these things are not getting any play at all. So I really do think it goes back to the macro side at this stage and the asset allocation, and that really boils down to the dollar. The Bloomberg Commodity Index and the dollar have about a 90% negative correlation right now for the past 3 months. So it's a pretty clear window at this point that if you can get a dollar high and a Japanese yen low, then you can start talking about the funds coming back in on a value level basis and turning this market in the trend.
Beans have been on a steady march downward. How much more do they have left in them to the downside, do you suppose?
Yeah, rule number three this year has been, fundamentally speaking, wheat and corn are more discounted and substantially undervalued, especially when compared to the soybeans. If you look at the Champagne cash price this afternoon, you're at $3.05 for fall corn, 15 cents below the USDA low price. If you look at the Champagne cash price for beans, you're at $9.38. You're still 38 cents above the low point of the USDA cash price. So unless you get a yield decline, a surprise yield decline, come in the report in October from USDA, or you get a surprise bean stocks report in the September 30th report, I think you continue to see the beans give up to the corn. And I think South America is also adding to that pressure with weather starting to open up for the bean planting and acres continuing to go up for beans and down for corn.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure, and please don't spend too much time with that Professor Dr. Bud Weiser.
Thanks so much, Mike. It is the weekend, man. Hey, Mike Zuzalo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now, here's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, with today's agricultural news.
The U.S. government is rewriting sweeping new food safety rules after farmers complained that they could hurt business. The Food and Drug Administration is proposing the revised rules today. The FDA is tweaking earlier proposals that included water and soil quality standards that farms, big and small, say are too burdensome. Final rules are due out next fall. Congress passed the food safety law in 2010. The rules come after major foodborne outbreaks in spinach, peanuts, eggs, and cantaloupe. The Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee has approved a bill reauthorizing the Surface Transportation Board and reforming several of the board's standard operating procedures. The measure is intended to make the STB more efficient, improve its investigative authority, and modify rate review timelines. In the lead-up to voting, panel members were highly critical of delays and other shortcomings of railroad services last spring and this summer, and recommended that federal regulators be given greater authority over railroads' activities. The Senate Finance Committee has begun a complete rewrite of the Energy Tax Code, holding a hearing this past week. The debate comes at a time when legislation still is pending to temporarily renew a number of renewable energy tax credits. Biofuel tax breaks have been subject to sunset for more than a decade, and, in fact, a number of provisions important to cellulosic ethanol and other renewable fuels expired at the end of 2013. Such expirations have often led to industry shutdowns and have put a wet blanket on potential investment in cellulosic ethanol and other advanced biofuels. Meanwhile, cellulosic ethanol industry representatives say chances are good EPA may face legal challenges in how the agency determined 2014 biofuels volumes in the renewable fuel standard. Brent Erickson, executive vice president in charge of the industrial and environmental section at the Biotechnology Industry Organization, or BIO, says that if EPA sticks with its current methodology of scaling back renewable fuel volumes in the RFS because of the oil industry's concern about a lack of available infrastructure to deliver higher volumes, then the final 2014 RFS is likely to be fought out in court. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Have you signed up yet? I hope so, but if not, today is a good time to do it. To go online at willag.org, willag.org, and sign up for our November Farm Assets Conference, much like our all-day conference, but we'll be particularly looking at farm assets, crop insurance, and the farm program and land values with Gary Schnitke and Jonathan Kappas and Bruce Sherrick, all from the University of Illinois, all ag economists, and then, of course, 12, count them, 12, our regular on-air analyst will join us for our November 24th Farm Assets Conference to be held at the Marriott Hotel. That's in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, on a Monday. If you'd like to come, it's just $25, and you can sign up right now at willag.org. That's willag.org. Can't get to our website and still want to sign up? No worries. You can purchase tickets by making a phone call, too. There is an 800 number to call, and that number is 1-800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. One more time, 898-1065. Now up next, you know, American corn farmers will be buried, so to speak, in their own crop this fall, but that does not mean the rest of the world will be oversupplied. I'll have more on the coarse grain stocks figure for the planet and prospects for U.S. corn and soybean exports. Selling corn's a local event for the farmer. It's really likely the big crop will cause the price to remain low. However, this doesn't always translate into the world picture. The last set of USDA numbers show the global coarse grain supply, corn, sorghum, and the like, a bit less heavy than the supply in the United States. Here's University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good's take on the potential for U.S. corn exports.
The forecast of the Chinese corn crop was reduced by almost 200 million bushels. That didn't necessarily translate into expectations of higher imports by China, but is quite a reversal from last month's production number. We also saw a little bit smaller forecast for the Argentine corn crop, based on prospects of fewer corn acres planted there. So I think the world crop is quite large, but the increase is nowhere nearly as much as the U.S. crop this year. And so that that suggests that the U.S. will be in a very competitive position in the export market.
This may be a point of optimism in an otherwise gloomy price picture for corn, because for the first time in years, U.S. corn will be competitive on the world stage. U.S. soybeans, on the other hand, may not be so competitive, at least at the current price levels. Thanks, Darrell Good.
Soybeans globally, if the South American production forecast is close, then we were looking at that huge supplies of soybeans. Makes you wonder if the price may be in the lower half of the USDA's price range rather than at the midpoint of $10. Certainly $10 compared to $3.50 corn would be a high price. And with stocks to use ratio about the same, suggests to me that maybe they're still a little too optimistic on the price of soybeans.
You may read what Darrell Good has to say about the commodity markets each Monday at noon on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address is www.farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This agricultural programming comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's check now the cash grain market. Ben Pruce is on the phone line. He's at the Everly, Iowa facility that belongs to the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Ben, and congratulations on your marriage.
Yeah, hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, so let's get down to something more of a business everybody will want to hear about. Anybody harvesting in your area?
No, except for... got some guy, actually I just contracted some 4,000 bushels of soybeans to come in next week. So we're on the cusp. We've got about 2 weeks yet.
So, and this would not be unusual for your area, right, in terms of
Yeah, no, honestly, we thought we were a little behind, but, you know, we've had a nice stretch of weather here, and honestly, stuff, it's 75, the wind's blowing. I mean, we're simply drying corn today.
You suppose that people will have as good a crop as expected a month or a month and a half ago, or has it deteriorated in any way?
Actually, just Mike talking with my guys, actually this last month or so, this weather has actually improved our crop. I mean, just from a dry down perspective, the yield, I mean, the stuff that does 200 every year is going to do 200, but it's the sandy ground that did 120 last year is going to do 180, 190 this year.
And for soybeans, will you have a similar result?
We have some variable our soybean yield in this neck of the woods particularly, it can be hit and miss year on year, but from what guys are saying, it looks pretty healthy, and it's what they're thinking, they're 30 or 40% sold on soybeans may only be 25 to 30%. I mean, there's going to be more beans there than we expect.
Do your harvest prices, as opposed to, and I assume you have a premium pop somewhere, but do your harvest prices reflect a really good crop, and how low are they at this point?
Like our all fall bid for corn, we're 45 under on corn and 60 under on soybeans. But today we're 30 under on corn because we're not real sure. Ethanol plants, I mean, we've had a couple step out. They're starting to step back into the market. They're real leery about stepping into this market and paying ridiculous basis just to get some corn. But with ethanol margins being good, they just got to do what they got to do.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Ben Pruce.
WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe. Bevere Cafe offers versatile catering options for breakfast meetings, working lunches, or afternoon receptions. Services include a wide selection of food and beverages suited to any budget. More information is available online or at 244-2233.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Butterscotch Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1783, the Montgolfier brothers successfully sent up for the first time ever some live animals in a hot air balloon, including a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. In the audience, King Louis XVI of France and Queen Marie Antoinette. The flight lasted about 8 minutes and covered 2 miles. The younger brother, Joseph, got the idea of lighter-than-air travel when he observed laundry drying over a fire form air pockets that billowed upwards. In 1839, George Cadbury was born, an English businessman. He perfected a new cocoa bean processing technique, and the breakthrough also shepherded in federal passage of the Adulteration of Food Acts in 1872 and 1875. The acts made it an offense to sell food, drink, or drugs that were not of the nature, substance, or quality demanded by the purchaser. And in 1995, Orville Redenbacher died, an American businessman. He founded the gourmet popping industry. After testing tens of thousands of strains of popcorn, Redenbacher and his partner, Charles Bowman, finally hit on the right hybrid, Redbow. By the way, Purdue University granted Redenbacher an honorary doctorate degree in the College of Agriculture in 1988. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Up next, Jim Angel is here with the weather forecast from the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
This week was both cooler and drier than last week. The statewide average temperature for this week was 56 degrees, almost 10 degrees below average. We had modest rains across central Illinois amounting to a half an inch to an inch. Northern and southern Illinois were drier with rains of a tenth of an inch or less. The National Weather Service came out with their outlook for October and beyond. For October, they are expecting an increased chance of above-average precipitation across the northern half of Illinois and much of the upper Midwest. The southern half of Illinois is likely to see near-average precipitation. October temperatures are likely to be near-average as well across the state. For the October-November-December period, there is an increased chance of above-average temperatures across Illinois and most of the Midwest. Precipitation is likely to be near average for Illinois. According to the National Weather Service forecast, for the next week we can expect above-average temperatures with highs in the low to mid-70s in the north, to the upper 70s and low 80s in the south. Lows will be in the upper 40s and low 50s in northern Illinois and in the 60s in southern Illinois. There is a chance of rain on Saturday and Sunday, otherwise a dry week with plenty of sunshine.
Our thanks, of course, go to Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey for his weekly update of the weather forecast and look forward at what we can expect over the weekend here in our part of the world and across the state of Illinois. Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on the weekly trade. December corn this week at $3.315. Finished the week 7 cents lower. March contract Friday to Friday on its change settled at 3.44 and a quarter, and it was down 6 3/4 of a cent. November beans, a settlement price on the week at $9.57, finished down 28 1/4. The January contract there settled at $9.65 1/4, and from week to week it was down 27 1/4 cents. Soft red winter wheat in the July futures, that'd be the harvest month, at $5.12, a low, and a settlement price down 27 cents from Friday to Friday. In the Mercantile Exchange livestock numbers, the October contract for the live cattle on the weekly trade settled at $155.62 1/2, 65 cents lower for the day. October live cattle on the week finished higher, up $2.80 at $228.72 1/2, and a lean hogs in the October contract. A settlement price at $105.97 1/2, that settlement price was 27 1/2 cents higher. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media Agricultural Programming. Don't forget to sign up if you want and would like for our Farm Assets Conference. That's November the 24th, Monday before Thanksgiving. We'll have a whole slate of analysts, including 12 of our regular on-air staff and 3 specialists from the U of I to take up farm assets, including crop insurance and your ARC PLC decision for the farm program, along with land values. You can do that at willag.org. The cost is just $25.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.